WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. With an assist from the governor, Virginians with past felony convictions may soon be eligible to vote. As some parts of the state get set to move into the next phase of vaccinations, we take a look back 1 year ago as Virginia started to lock down in response to the pandemic. And it's St. Patrick's Day, and we've got something special from the Blue Ridge Irish Music School. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, March 17th. Many Virginians with past felony convictions learned Tuesday that Governor Ralph Northam has made them eligible to vote. He's accelerating legislative efforts to restore the civil rights of tens of thousands of people. Whitney Evans from VPM in Richmond reports.
Virginians who have served their jail or prison sentences will now be eligible to have their rights restored, even if they're still on probation. 62-year-old Del Denise Williams was surprised by the news. She says she spent nearly 7 years in prison, where she continued to follow politics and current events.
My parents taught me the importance of voting, you know, and that's the way change happens, is by you voting. You just can't sit back and keep complaining about things. You have to participate.
The General Assembly approved a constitutional amendment this year to automatically restore the civil rights of people who've served their sentences. But lawmakers have to approve the measure 2 years in a row before putting it on the ballot. Until the Constitution is amended, Virginians who are eligible still have to apply.
Whitney Evans, WMRA News.
The Virginia Department of Health says some regions are moving into the next phase of vaccinations this week. Phase 1C includes a broader range of essential workers, such as those working in energy, food service, and media. Local health departments are required to make efforts to reach people in the first two priority groups, 1A and 1B, before moving into the new stage. Officials stressed the importance of signing up on Virginia's pre-registration portal in order to get an appointment. If you haven't signed up yet, that website is vaccinate.virginia.gov, or you can call 877-VAX-IN-VA. That's 877-VAX-IN-VA. A year ago today, Governor Northam issued an order that limited gatherings to 10 people. Ben Pavier with VPM spoke with Virginia's top health official about what he's learned in the years since the Commonwealth locked down.
The Virginia Department of Health spent nearly two decades planning for a pandemic. So Commissioner of Health Norm Oliver says he wasn't surprised when the novel coronavirus arrived in Virginia.
I think what we found was that we were really hampered by the lack of resources.
Dr. Oliver says the federal government should have done more to coordinate its early response and get out testing supplies.
If I had to do it over again, heaven forbid, I think we could have moved sooner, faster, and bigger.
That includes activating the National Guard earlier to help with testing. A year later, Virginia's per capita infection rate is well below the U.S. average, a tribute, Oliver says, to the Commonwealth's handling of the pandemic. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
Also, 1 year ago today, Governor Northam ordered DMVs across the state to close. Commissioner Rick Holcomb says many of the changes the DMV has made since then, such as requiring appointments, are here to stay. He says the old system, where most people showed up without appointments, led to long waits.
A good portion of your day would be shot just waiting to be served at the DMV. Now, we're just putting the weight on the other end and asking you to plan a little bit ahead of time.
The DMV has also added more options for completing transactions online. Virginia Republicans are holding a party convention to select their candidates for statewide office in May. The Democrats are holding a voter primary in June. So for the primary elections, will the order of the candidates on the ballot make a difference? Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Who's on first? In many cases, it's the winner of an election. That's because academic research consistently shows that the first candidate on a ballot or early candidates have an edge. Darren Grant at Sam Houston University in Texas has researched ballot order. He says the reason for this remains a mystery.
One theory is that people work through the ballot and they have kind of a good enough standard. And so they're going down the list of options. And as soon as they find a candidate that they think is good enough, then they vote for that person and then just move on.
Mark Meredith is a political science professor at the University of Pennsylvania who's researched the importance of ballot order. He says it'll actually be less important in the race for governor than it'll be in the primaries for lieutenant governor or attorney general.
The Virginia governor election will be the top tier election on the ticket this cycle in Virginia. And so lots of people are showing up purposefully to vote on that specific race. And so the more that people are showing up to vote on a specific race, the less likely ballot order is likely to matter.
Virginia currently allows for candidates who file at the earliest possible opportunity to be part of a random drawing for a shot at first place. But confusion over when and how to submit petitions has prompted some candidates to call for all the candidates to appear in random order, regardless of when they filed for office. Michael Pope.
Finally today, as we think about all things Irish today, here's WMRA's Chris Boros with something special for St. Patrick's Day.
Last year at this time, the Blue Ridge Irish Music School, better known as BRIMS, was getting ready to celebrate their 20th year with a concert from Irish singer Karen Casey. I had interviewed the director of the school, Lori Madden, and we were planning to air that interview exactly a year ago today, but that is just when COVID struck. The Karen Casey concert was canceled, and that interview never aired, and I have been feeling guilty about that for a year. So, Lori Madden, welcome back. It's great to talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Chris, and no need to feel guilty.
I have to think that it's not easy to socially distance when you're teaching Irish dancing. So how has this last year been for BRIMS?
It's been remarkably okay. We have moved to an online model completely. And although I know that a lot of folks are getting burned out on the whole Zoom thing, our students and instructors have been remarkable. Not ideal, but it's been pretty okay.
Well, that's good to hear. For people who don't know about BRIMS and what you're all about, just describe, what is the group all about? What do you normally offer when there isn't a pandemic? Have you had to cut back at all on some of the offerings?
Oh, absolutely. Friday the 13th of March, a year ago, I was sitting here at my computer watching everything get canceled. We had to cancel Lunasa, Karen Casey, Martin Hayes, Kevin Burke. Don Doyle was supposed to come in June. And so on that fateful day, everything kind of bit the dust.
And I will say, all of those names you just mentioned, those are big names in Irish music. I mean, John Doyle, Karen Casey, they're at the top of the game.
Yes, and we've been very lucky over the years to have hosted the best of the best. So we've been gradually moving forward, and we'll keep trying to do that until we can be all back in person again.
My wife and I, we had tickets to go see Karen Casey, man. When that got canceled, we were so sad.
Well, hopefully you can get to see the next concert we have coming up, which is Dervish.
Tonight, Dervish tonight, online, right?
Exactly. It's a concert that they recorded in Glasgow for the Celtic Connections, and they have special guests also in this concert, including Bella Fleck and Abigail Washburn.
Wow.
And Peggy Seeger is also a guest.
Beautiful. I saw on your website that spring classes begin next week on Tuesday. What can you tell us about the classes that you're offering this spring?
Well, we have banjo, fiddle, tin whistle, Irish flute, all kinds of dance classes.
How did you find this music, Celtic music, Irish dancing? Were you brought up in this when you were a kid, or did you find it somehow else?
No, I was not brought up in it, although I have a tiny bit of Irish ancestry. But of course, you know, you don't have to have any in order to participate or to love it.
Oh, good. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yes, so you're good to go.
Phew.
But it was through my kids, and we haven't looked back.
Well, I'm glad you haven't, because I think you know I'm a huge fan of this music, and there's something so special about Irish and Celtic music. It just lifts the spirits like nothing else, at least for me.
That's so true. And, you know, last year you asked me in our interview, our ill-fated interview, what I loved about Irish music. And I was caught up short by that question about what I love about Irish music, because there's really so many different kinds, and it speaks to people in different ways. It's a thing among Irish musicians sometimes to talk about St. Patrick's Day and how everybody wants you to sing Danny Boy. and we kind of roll our eyes. And
yeah.
But I have to say, there is a place for all of the different kinds. And one of the things that really moved me was hearing a singer recently, Seamus Begley is his name, and he comes from a large family of well-known Irish musicians and singers, and he's a lovely singer. And he sang Danny Boy in a concert in Irish, and it was very beautiful, and it gave me a whole new appreciation. So, yes, there are many different kinds.
You're right, though. Danny Boy is sort of a cliche that when you're really deep into the music and you hear Danny Boy, you're like, you kind of roll your eyes a little bit. But then you're right. You can be completely blown off guard by a new version, and then it opens up a whole new world for that song.
Absolutely.
Lori Madden is the director of BRIMS, the Blue Ridge Irish Music School. To learn about their upcoming classes and tonight's concert with Dervish, we have that link at WMRA.org. Lori, I'm so glad we got to do this again. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Me too. Same to you, Chris.
And don't forget to tune in to WMRA Sunday nights at 7 for the best in Celtic music with the Thistle and Shamrock. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Wednesday.